God has great things for us, and I'm so excited to be here with you tonight. Praise the Lord. I know, we started a message last week called Living Spiritually. Praise the Lord. That was part one, and today you came back to receive part two, and I'm glad you did because it's a humdinger. Praise the Lord. Well, it's not really a humdinger. It's just good. Praise the Lord. It's the Word, and because it's the Word, it's good. It'll help you. Praise the Lord. It helps me. It helps me as I get into the Word. You know, that's what I love about pastoring is that as I get into the Word to prepare messages, that I get the benefit of it as well. Amen? And as I preach the message, I get the benefit of it as well, because sometimes, or most of the time when I'm preaching, things come out. I didn't even plan that we're going to come out. Amen? And that's just the Lord helping me too. Amen? Praise the Lord. So tonight's message is called Living Spiritually, Part 2. And then we have another little thing down there. It's a subtitle called The Inward Witness. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we've been last week we started talking about living according to the Spirit. And we started talking, we shared scripture about how people, a lot of times Christians miss it because Christians aren't living, a lot of Christians aren't living according to the Spirit. They're living more according to the flesh. They follow the flesh, and of course, that's why they get into the messes that they get into and stuff like that. Now, I know this in my own personal life. As I follow the Spirit, good things happen. But as I follow my flesh, bad things happen. Amen. So we're excited to know that we can live spiritually. God has made us to live spiritually, but we need to take the bull by the horns, so to speak. We have to be the ones to decide that we're going to do that. Spiritual living isn't something, it's something we're given as an ability that we can get into, but it's something that we choose to walk in daily. Amen. Every time we make a decision, if we make it according to the flesh or the Spirit, we will have the result accordingly. Amen. So if we make it according to the Spirit, then we're going to get what the Spirit gives us. And if we make it according to the flesh, we'll get what the flesh gives us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to flip somewhere real quick. I think I want to, this scripture is just on my heart. We shared it last week, I believe. I'm trusting the Holy Ghost here because I don't remember what the scripture says, but I know that it's good. And so I'm trusting as I get there, I'm going to find that it was good, and I'm not going to be embarrassed that I stood up here and told you that it was good and it really wasn't. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:14. I am so thankful for the Holy Ghost that he didn't leave me hanging high and dry here and didn't leave you hanging. But I wasn't planning on using this again, but I feel in context that it's important to use this. Now, if you weren't here last week, please get on the archives. You can listen to last week's message on there. Amen. On fccorey.org. Praise the Lord. That's how you get there. And all our archives, you also find Mayville's archives too. So if you want to hear the sermons from then, you can hear those as well. But 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." Yeah. Praise God. "Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." See, this is a very important scripture, and this is why, this is really based on why a lot of Christians fail when they fail. This is why churches fail if they fail. Sometimes ministers can fail because of the same thing. The thing is if we don't live according to the Spirit, if we don't learn what that is. See, a lot of people, they hear things about the Spirit, and they start getting freaked out a little bit. You know, start getting scared a little bit, and because there's people that have taken things too far and gotten goofy with it. And we don't want to do that either. We want to stay balanced right in the middle of the road, amen? But we understand that if we want to receive from God, the only way to do that is spiritually. Why? Because God is a Spirit. The Bible tells us His Word is Spirit, as we're about to see. So we know God is a Spirit, His Word is Spirit. He works in the supernatural, the spiritual realm. And so if we're going to be people that receive from God, we're going to have to do that spiritually. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. That was free, no charge. But turn with me to John 6:63. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love the Word because the Word always tells us. It always helps us. It always gives us the answer. Amen. One of the greatest things that my pastor taught me, I used to love this. I'd go to him with questions. I would sit in his office. I remember the little red office on Garfield Road. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But that's what it was, a little red office in Garfield Road. And I'd sit there with my questions. And he would always say the same thing to me. And I'm so glad he taught me this. But my pastor would say to me, he's like, "Let's see what the Word says." Amen? And then we would put it in context. And we would look at it. And we would understand that the Word is not difficult. You know, there's so many Christians. I'm going to go back to this, and I hope I don't get too far off course. But there's so many Christians that try to claim that, well, that's how you interpret it. And see, the Bible, if we let the Bible interpret the Bible, we'll never go astray. We'll never be lost. I mean, there are things in here I would say that we don't have full knowledge of, and that we could probably have a discussion about. I'm not saying that, but for the majority of the scripture that we need that pertains to us. Now we need the whole scripture. Don't get me wrong there either, but the scriptures that pertain to us, what Jesus wanted us to know, he said over and over, and he told us about it over and over. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Did you find John 6:63 yet? Praise the Lord. What does it say here? It says, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. This is a very big problem if you can take this any way that you want. Because Jesus said that the words that he spoke, which is this written word right here, he said the words, and you could say, because he spoke what the Father told him to speak. He did what the Father told him to do. We understand that the whole of Scripture is written for our benefit, but it was inspired by God. And so these are the words that Jesus is talking about. If this can be taken any way that we want to take it, if you can take it one way and I can take it the other way and make it work, then it can't be truth. Because there's people out there that are deceived because they are following things that aren't true based on their interpretation of what they say the Scripture says. Amen? And this is why there's a lot of things that I'm not going to get into Bible interpretation tonight or understanding that, because that's not the message. But we know that this is a spiritual book. And it's written, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12 that it's living and powerful, praise the Lord, and that it divides between the soul and the spirit, the soul being your mind and or your flesh, and the spirit being the things that the spirit wants to lead you into, amen? And we're going to get into this some tonight, amen? So I'm just excited, but we know that they are spirit and they are life. We have to look at this. There's so many Christians that never pick this up, and they have to understand. You have to understand that this is our life. This is, if we don't get the Word of God in us, we put this up here. Faith comes by hearing, and the reason we do that, that's what is that? Romans 8:14? No, that's 10:17. Yeah, I'm sorry. Romans 10:17. We put this up there. Faith comes by hearing because we want to remind people of that. We're a word-based church. We preach the word because it's the word that changes things. Amen? Now, see, you can memorize the word because you do it according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. Amen? You don't let it sink in you. You don't let it change you. See, what a lot of people try to do is they try to change the word to fit their circumstance instead of changing their circumstance to fit the word. And that's where people err. That's where people go, or one of the places that people err. So we see that it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that Jesus spoke to us, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. So the words of how people don't understand how can John 8:31 and 32, how can living in the word, how can that change you really? It's because when it gets in there, it does things spiritually. And we are spirit beings, first and foremost. And so when our spirit is built up, then our flesh can be put down. But see, what so many people do, oh my glory to God, what so many people do, this is a problem, this is almost a universal problem in the body of Christ, is that people build their flesh. They're building their flesh first. Everything's flesh first, flesh first. I want this, so I'm going to do this. Listen, I understand this wholeheartedly. Hallelujah. I wanted ice cream two nights this week. So guess what I did? I had ice cream two nights this week. But that doesn't really do so good for the front profile. Amen? When you're working on reducing, you can't add ice cream to the mix. My wife, like the saint she is, she said, I ain't having it, right? Did you have a little? You didn't have none. Praise the Lord. But she smelled it. You know, you can get calories just from smelling it. Hallelujah. I swear you can. But you know what I'm saying? So like, but you understand, if I lived on ice cream, the profile wouldn't be where it's at. It would grow even larger. Amen. And that wouldn't be healthy. That wouldn't be good for me. So so many Christians, they live in that place where they feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh, not necessarily physically, but they just do what the flesh wants to do. This is why a church that's built on the flesh won't last or won't work, because it's not built according to God's word or his direction. See, when God does something, it doesn't fail. Well, let me say that again. When God does something, it doesn't fail. you know, there's, and you say, well, wait a minute, God started some churches in the New Testament. We see, you know, you ever heard of the church of the Ephesians? The Romans, the Laodiceans, we have all these churches. They don't exist anymore, right? Why not? Well, it wasn't because God didn't intend them to do good and exist. Yeah. It's because somewhere along the lines, people failed doing the word. Yeah. That's the truth. Somewhere along, it's always, listen, I'm not trying to preach that everything bad in life that happens to us is because we fail. That's not the truth either. But what I'm saying is God never fails. God doesn't start works to put them down. God's intent is for them to prosper and grow. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to John. You're in John. Let's go to John 14. This is actually a scripture I didn't get to last week because my wife made me preach long. Hallelujah. Well, she didn't really, but you guys did. John 14, 15. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll read through verse 18. God is good. What does Jesus say here? This verse 15 is such an important scripture. Like you could meditate on this day and night for the rest of your life and still never get there. Amen? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I said. If you love me, you'll do what I say. That's what Jesus said. You can't take that out of the Bible. Actually, this is not the only place he said it, but he said it there. If you love me, keep my commandments. Some people think that once you become a Christian, it's a free-for-all. It's not a free-for-all. You can't live any way you want. I have seen churches that promote this kind of garbage where it's just like, well, you just do what you want to do. Well, then that's why people have what they have, because doing what you want to do is always what got you in trouble in the first place. Listen, doing what I want to do is always what gets me in trouble. It's when I follow God. It's when I finally sit down and say, okay, I'm going to follow God on this and stop doing what, you know what I'm saying? It's just the truth of the word. It's a difference between living spiritually and living naturally. Amen? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Amen? Amen. This is very important. He's going to give you another helper that he may do what? Abide with you for a few weeks or until the Bible's written, and then he's going to go away, and then he's not going to do anything he did before. He's going to look completely. He's going to swap himself out at some point in the next few centuries. That's what he's saying here, right? I mean, that must be implied. Well, that's how I interpret this anyways. No, that's not what he said. He's going to abide with you forever. See, God doesn't... I love in Malachi, was it Malachi 3:6? It says, I am the Lord. I do not change. I love that. Because that really kind of throws a monkey wrench in that whole God changes kind of business. When God tells us himself that he doesn't change, well, the things that he did... Now, he didn't change. We see that Jesus... He even said to us, he didn't come to destroy the law. He said, I come to fulfill the law, establish the law. Amen. He's come to establish, he's made it able so we can have that connection with God that God always intended for us, that he intended from the very beginning, but we couldn't because of sinful flesh. Jesus made the bridge into that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he didn't do something different. It was God's intent all along. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand this about the Holy Spirit. This is a very important thing here, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit was not abiding with us forever to suddenly change and then confuse us with no direction. Because isn't the interesting thing about the word that God, whenever he wanted us to know something, didn't he give us direction? Yeah. He always gave us direction. He said, this is what you can expect from me, didn't he? Every time we went to the Jews, he said, this is what you can expect from me. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. If you do this, this, and this, this is going to happen. Every single time God gave us instruction. But for some reason, people think today that God stopped giving instruction. He said, well, no, he didn't change what the Holy Spirit was going to do. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come, he's going to be your helper, and he's going to be there forever. He's going to be there forever. Well, praise the Lord. I'm excited about that, because if you understand, and you would be too, if you understood what the work of the Holy Spirit is. The work of the Holy Spirit is not just to, it's not just to give us a name to say when we baptize people. Right. Amen? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they say the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, as we dunk them in water, right? Sometimes they say the Holy Ghost. We're not talking about spooks. We're not talking about something scary. We're not talking about, you know, somebody's dead grandma walking through the walls and knocking on the windows and stuff like that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I don't know how you got me on all that, but it was good. And then he says, and I will pray the Father. No, I already read that. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. Oh, there's a message right there in those four words. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Truth does not change. No. Truth is not subjective. Right. Truth does not, you don't get to have truth one way. Listen, it's true that if you step off the roof, you're going to hit the ground. Yeah. It's true that's going to happen. Yeah. Nothing you're going to do is going to change that. Amen. You can't change that truth. If you jump out of an airplane, your destination is Earth. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's going to happen. Whether you have a parachute or not, you can't change that direction. Hallelujah. That's truth. Truth doesn't change just because you don't like it. Truth doesn't. Listen, if you jumped out of an airplane, you're like, oh, man, I forgot my parachute. Yeah. Sorry. That's bad. Right. But you can't change truth just because you don't like the circumstances. You can't say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want the effects of what's going to happen when I hit the ground now because you left your parachute in the plane. Yeah. Well, praise God. It's the truth. Truth is the truth. It does not change. Amen. I am the Lord. I do not change. Not me. I'm not the Lord. But, you know, God says that. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. So he's the Spirit of truth whom the world, oh, this is so important, the world cannot receive. They can't receive it. Why? Well, let's flip. Stay there real quick. I'm going to flip there because I lost it. I lost my place. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Why can't the world receive it? Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, to him. It doesn't make sense that our Messiah walked on water, does it?
No.
It doesn't make sense that God made, through the prophets, made axe heads float, does it? It doesn't make sense that Peter walked on water, does it? It doesn't make sense that Jesus fed over 10,000 people with a couple loaves and a couple fish. It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense that God stepped out of heaven and came to earth and became a man and lived as we did, but lived as we did perfectly so he could die for our sins. It doesn't make sense, does it? But he did. And see, it doesn't matter what makes sense to the natural man. All that matters is what God did. And this is the difference between living naturally and living spiritually. Living spiritually is when you look at the word and you say, this is truth. This is truth, and this is the truth that's going to lead me and guide me. Not my feelings. Listen, this is what you're going to need when you're facing sickness. When you need healing, this is what you're going to need is this truth. When you need that blessing and when you need the answer to your prayer that God said you would have, he didn't put any kind of conditions on it. He said you would have it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. What was it? 1 John 4:15, I think. You can look it up and tell me if I'm right. I think somewhere in that area. Or you can just reference this, type this into Google. He says, if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Amen? If we know this, that when we pray, God hears us. That's what the first scripture says. And the next one says that if we know that he hears us, and we know we have what we ask for. But people still go to God and they pray like they don't know if he's going to get what they ask for. What did God say? What does the word say? What does the truth say? But see, it matters what we believe because we can only receive what we believe. Praise the Lord. A lot of people have a problem with that, but you go to the major biggest thing that almost all Christians agree on, and that's salvation. Can you receive salvation unless you receive it? No. You have to say, yes, I believe that, and I receive it unto myself. There are people who die say, yeah, I can believe in Jesus. I can believe what he did, but I'm not receiving it. I've known people. Did you find it? 1 John 5:15. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. You take that down and just look at it later. Praise the Lord, we want to be accurate. So you understand that we have to follow the truth. We have to follow what the word says. Amen?
Amen.
Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. This is a big thing. A lot of people are having a lot of problem believing in God because they can't see him. Because they can't touch him, they can't feel him, he doesn't quote unquote manifest in front of them. The world can't receive that because they don't have faith to receive that. They don't have the faith to be able to see that. Hallelujah. And you can't receive anything of God unless you have the faith to receive it. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. And I love verse 18. It's so important. I will not, leave you orphans. I will come to you. He isn't going to leave us by ourselves. He ain't going to leave us left to our own devices. But if we reject him, if we walk away from him, if we push the truth away from us and say, oh, I'm not going to receive this, that's what Christians do all the time. Do you know, as a pastor, I instruct people all the time in the Word, week in, week out in the Word. The people that succeed are the people who take the Word and run with it, and those who don't are the ones that fail every single time. I was a Christian who received the Word all the time, but I didn't take it and run with it. And what happened? I saw destruction in my life as a result. The reason that I kept running into depression, the reason I kept running into failure, the reason I kept lagging behind was because I didn't receive the Word. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. We have to take it and run with it. Well, praise the Lord. Let me see here. Do I want to turn here? Yes. We're in John 14. Let's flip over to chapter 16. Stay in John. We're seeing some things about the Holy Ghost here, amen? But this pertains to living spiritually. It's very important. So we see then that he is going to send us somebody, right? He's going to abide with us. He's going to be our helper, hallelujah. Now let's look at what John 16:13 says about him, about the same Holy Ghost, hallelujah. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, right? We saw that before in John 14, has come, he will guide you into all truth. This scripture, again, this word guide is a very important word. I went on a bear hunt a couple years in a row. I went on a bear hunt. I'm not a hunter, but I went on a bear hunt. It was a bunch of ministers going on a bear hunt. I went with them. Praise the Lord. I had some good fellowship and stuff. And we had this guide. He was called a guide. That was his title. He was a guide, just like I'm a pastor or a father or a husband. He was a guide. Hallelujah. So that's what he did. Amen. And I love that the Bible uses guide here because we're going to see something in this. So at any rate, the guide's name was John. John was a really kind of a backwoods, like upper Canadian backwoods kind of guy. I mean, just chiseled out of a stone somewhere. Somebody, you know, gave him some breath and he took off running with it. Now the man just runs around the woods hunting moose and bears and all kinds of things like that. So he had me up there in the woods. Now, I was a little bit accustomed to the woods because growing up, I'd go camping and stuff like that. But I wasn't a hunter. I'm still not a hunter. I don't necessarily plan on it. I have no problem with anyone who's a hunter. I would go again. Amen. So get that all settled. But at any rate, I was in the woods, and I'm not a hunter. And I once heard, and this is, I can tell you this is true, and especially true when you're hunting bears in Canada with John, hallelujah, and these other ministers that I was with, that it shouldn't be called hunting, it should be called sitting or waiting, because that's really what you do. You spend more time doing that. The first, and they warned me about this, but the first day I'm in the woods, I'm in the tree, and in a tree stand, and I'm sitting there in the pouring rain. I got this poncho over me, and I'm carving sticks. And I was so bored, I didn't even know what to do with myself. But at any rate, my guide, John, had brought me in there. Amen. He had led me to the spot. He said, okay, this is where you're going to sit. This is where the bears should come out. And when you come, shoot them, call me. I'll come back and help you. Praise the Lord. He didn't say praise the Lord. I'm saying that. But at any rate, so John leaves me there, and I sit there for the night, and I'm, of course, miserable in the rain and just sitting there and bugs and all that stuff. And so another couple nights, was it the second? I went through a whole trip like this, right? And it was the second trip that I got wizened up. Praise the Lord, right? Yes, it was the second trip. So no bears that year. Nobody got bear. One guy got a bear, but it was a very small bear. Next year, we're foolish enough to go back to the same spot, go back to the same, the guide wasn't the problem, but the outfitter was kind of the problem, but that's neither here nor there. But at any rate, we went back up to the same spot, and I find myself in a tree again, waiting for a non-existent bear. Hallelujah. And I'm sitting there, and I think I was about a day and a half or 2 days into this, and this thought crossed my mind. I am paying to sit here. I paid. Like, I almost felt like obligated to be there because John had put me there. But you know something? I realized that I chose to be there. He was guiding me to that spot, but I chose to remain. But you know what I did? I chose not to remain. I'm like, I'm tired of this. There ain't no bears in these stinking woods. I learned last time I was here, and I'm getting a double dose of it this time. I want out. And so I called John, my guide, and I said, John, guide me out of here. And he said, He said, well, but boy, this is the best time. This is the best time for it. I don't care. There ain't no bears in these woods, and I don't want to be here anymore. I want to come out. And so John came and got me, and he wasn't real happy with me, but he came and he guided me out. My point to all of this is this. I said all that to say this, that if you don't follow the guide, you're not going to go where the guide takes you. A guide is not he is not a warden. He is not somebody who puts a gun to your head. I'm sure John had many guns. He had a really nice axe he showed me. It's called an ox head hat, if you've ever seen one. Real expensive. Has a certain ting to it when you hit it. That's just right, I guess. I don't, glory to God. John liked it. He showed me all about it. But the point is that if you don't follow the guide, you're not going to go where the guide's taking you. Now, he can put the guide on the inside of us. John could have opened me up and climbed right inside of me and walked and rode with me. But if I wasn't going to go where John was taking me, I wasn't going to get there. And so the same thing is when we live according to the flesh, we put down the spirit, we stop choosing to follow God, the direction of God, and therefore we can't get into the things that God has for us. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. So he will guide us into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but what he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you, another translation says, show you things to come. This is what the Holy Spirit's job is. He's going to tell you or show you things to come. He's going to guide us into all truth, and he's going to show us things to come. I don't know about you, but I've looked at an awful lot of Christians, and I thought, man, I don't think they even know what the Holy Ghost is, because they don't seem like they have any idea where they're going. You ever seen the old saying, chicken with its head cut off? That could describe the body of Christ today. Yeah. It's like you chop their head off, and they run all over the place, running into walls, everything else. They don't know what they're doing. Hear out of their mouth, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how. Just keep running. You know what I'm saying? This is the way a lot of Christians feel. We hear, heck, we have Christian songs that sing about this kind of stuff. When I don't know what to do. He gave us an instruction manual. You know what to do. And then he put his guide on the inside of you to tap into that too. And he's going to speak not his own words, the words of God. Praise the Lord. He isn't going to speak what he wants to know. But see, there's so many people, they don't even know this. They just, they pick a church willy-nilly. It's just like, well, I think I'll go here this Sunday. I'll go here the next Sunday. I'll go da, 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 da. No, God's got a place for you to get planted, praise the Lord, and grow. If you're not getting fed where you're at, then God doesn't want you to stay and starve. It's just the truth. I learned that. How do I learn that? Because I was a church hopper at one point. I went from church, every Sunday I was in a different church. What did I get out of that? A bunch of instability. Yeah. Why? Because you can't grow if you're not planted. Yeah, right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory to God. So we understand that God isn't going, the Holy Spirit doesn't just speak what he wants. He speaks what the Lord tells him to speak. Yeah. This is important for us to understand because a lot of people are supposedly led into doing things, but they don't line up with the word. You know, I used the example before, and I'll use the same example again. This man that came to me and said, the Lord led me to stop going to church and seek him on my own. And I'm like, that's funny because the word says that you're supposed to be in church. It says not to forsake the assembling together of the brethren. Now, if you've been forsaking the assembly, I'm not coming down on you. Just get right and go on, move on with God. You'll see, there's no condo bondo here. That's condemnation or bondage. We're not trying to put bondage on you. We're not trying to put condemnation on you. We just want you to do the word, teach you the word, and want you to run with it. Amen? You know why? Because when you run with the word, it makes counseling you a lot easier. Hallelujah. It makes directing you a lot easier. It does. It's the truth. Hallelujah. This is how I got from being so goofy to being the impeccable minister that you see before you today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Of course, that's a joke, but, praise the Lord for God's goodness. He has done a lot in my life. Amen? So we have to understand there's an inward witness, God, and we're going to get more into this, but God wants us to be led. It's very important to us that we are, to God, that we are led. This is why he does what he does, like give us the Holy Spirit. God wouldn't have given us the Holy Spirit if it wasn't important to have the Holy Spirit. Every born-again Christian has the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another thing, and we're not going to teach about this tonight, but there's another thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is different. Amen. It's I love how the Bible says, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a taste of it, but the Bible says it's a baptism. You know, just like when you become a Christian, you don't instantly, you're not automatically baptized in water, are you? No, you have to choose to be baptized, and then they submerge you, and it looks like something, right? They dip you in water, and you're baptized. Then you can say, I've been baptized. Well, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. You can have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're two different things, but we're not teaching on that tonight. We're talking about the inward witness. Hallelujah. So all Christians have the ability to be led by the Spirit of God. How do we know this? The Bible tells us so. Amen? The Bible says so. When the Bible says it, it's true, and we just got to believe it. And so the first thing that we start doing is stop confessing all the garbage that we're always confessing, like, I don't know what to do. No, I know all things. Praise the Lord. I know all things. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit on the inside. He's on the inside of me. God is on the inside of me. I'm His temple. Praise. See, a lot of people read by that. They just think that that's, you know, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we need to, yes, you need to treat yourself right. And you need to make yourself, you know, do good. And you need to not put bad things in the temple. That's true. But the temple of God, God making us the temple, is much more than just what we do. Hallelujah. God making us a temple was showing us something, that he was coming to live on the inside of us. That's huge. The God who created everything, things you can't see, things you can't fathom, things you can't even that you can't even begin to understand, he's on the inside of you. He's right there. So what do you need? What do you need to know? What direction do you need to go? No, guess what? He's up there looking down on you. He can see every road. He can see every path. He can see every door. He knows where every trial is. He knows where every trouble is. He knows where every opposition is. He knows where the devil, he can see the devil every place he's hiding. And he's on the inside of you. He's just waiting there for you to tap in. Say, hey, I actually believe this. And now I believe that God will lead me. And because I believe God will lead me, I know that He will, and now I can get into things. Yes. Hallelujah. A little bit of that, actually, I believe that's what, now looking back on it, that's why the Lord had me turn to that scripture that I didn't exactly remember, but I remembered that it was important. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I honestly didn't plan that. You might not believe me, but I love you anyways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So He doesn't just speak what He wants. Amen. Okay, 1 John 4:1, just look at it up here. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. This is huge. Do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits. Okay, don't believe every spirit, test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit, test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit, test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit, beloved. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. Yeah. How do you test the spirits? Well, if you have no standard, you can't test them. Right. Right. And that's this man that said to me that Lord led him out to just seek Him and not go to church anymore and all this stuff. Praise the Lord. But see, going to church isn't just about you and God. You understand that. You going to church is about everybody else that's sitting there that needs you. You going to church is about everybody else that's still waiting to come in that needs you to be there being faithful, to take care of the place, to do things like mow the lawn, to do things like make sure that the, you know, things are working, to do things like care for the sheep and the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's people that are waiting. See, it's not just about you. See, that's an example of the foolishness of the devil and the selfishness of the devil, because he puts it on Christians and says, well, you just need to seek me. You just need to spend time by yourself and seek God. And don't worry about everybody else, just you and God. Well, yeah, when you stand before God, it's going to be you and God. But you know what He's going to be asking you when you stand before God? What did you do with everybody else? What did you do with the gifts I gave you? Did you hoard them for yourself? Oh, you just sat there and sought me and sought me and sought me. The devil told me that. He said, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren, and even much more so as the day approaches. Yes. Well, I don't know about you, but today the day is closer than it was last week. Yes. And so if you didn't last week, you have much more need of it this week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How do you test? You put it against the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, it isn't truth. Praise the Lord. If you start thinking, oh, glory to God, how can it? Give me an example, Lord, and I'll run with it. I mean, husbands and wives, you have a responsibility according to the word as a husband and as a wife. My wife and I understand this. This is something that we've had to learn. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we've had trials or troubles. We haven't had troubles with each other, but I'm saying that this is something that we have to learn, how to do things God's way. We do them God's way, and then we prosper, but when we don't, we can't. And see, that's exactly what God is telling us. Praise the Lord. We have to test the spirits. Is this the word or is this not the word? Amen? Praise God. There's so many people that say, well, I don't like what you preach, so I don't want to do that. Well, liking and doing are two different things. There's a lot of things I don't want to do that I don't like. I'm going to tell you what. In my flesh, there is no part of me that wants to come down here on a Saturday night. Especially not when the weather starts getting nice. I'm going to tell you right now. There's no part of me in my flesh that wants to do that. But in my spirit, I know that it's God. In my spirit, I know there's fruit to be had. In my spirit, I rejoice in the Lord because he's given me the opportunity to. Praise the Lord. See, it doesn't matter what I want to do then. It matters what God is showing me. And what I find is, as I put the flesh down, now see, this is important. As I put the flesh down and let my spirit rise to the top, what happens is I start enjoying life better than I ever could. When I lived in the world, all I did was what my flesh wanted to do. Every time I took drugs, every time I drank, every time I fornicated, every time I went running around and doing whatever I wanted to do, every time I did these things, I did so according to the flesh. The Spirit never led me that way. Never led me. Oh, I had spiritual experiences. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm telling you, you take enough drugs, you can have some spiritual experiences. Oh, yeah, you can see lights, you can see things moving, but it's not the truth. It's lies. It's lies from the pit of hell. And those are the things that would draw me back to it. You know, just recently, there were certain drugs that I liked the most. And just recently, I just had this feeling come in me. You know, it was the devil. This feeling come on me. Said, man, wouldn't it be nice to just go back and do some of that again? Yeah, absolutely. You know what I did? I didn't do it. Hallelujah, because I wouldn't be standing here before you today. Why? Because I've understood something. Just because the flesh wants it is not going to be good for me. And see, the Bible says that sin is enjoyable for a time, but there's a point where it's not enjoyable anymore. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we pit it against God's word. If we have a leading, if we have a desire, if we have an unction to do anything, if there's a draw to do anything, what does the word say? And if you don't know me, get a hold of me. Or don't know it, get a hold of me. Amen. If you don't know enough of the word, get a hold of me. We'll help you with it. Praise the Lord. That's what we do. That's what my pastor did. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we're here for. Where Christians many times fail is believing God's word is adaptive to their situation. This is where so many churches fail. God has outlined how to worship him. We don't worship him according to the way we want to. We worship him according to the way he said to. This is a huge problem in the body of Christ. We have churches that spend their whole service on worship services. Which, I'm not saying it's bad to have a worship service, but that's not what the local church is for. The local church is about coming together. We can have worship services, but when we come together on a weekly basis, the purpose of that, the Bible tells us, is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It's so that you can learn how to go out there and be a good Christian and not just come in and have some kind of experience and then leave and still be an idiot. Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. Listen, I was a chief of idiots. I know full well. I would go to church, I would have my experience, and then I'd go out into the world and I'd still act like the devil. What was the problem? The flesh. It was the flesh the whole time. It wasn't God. It wasn't changing me. Why does church not change people? Because they're not spiritual churches. They're flesh churches. They're churches that say, you just do what you want to do. No, don't do what you want to do. Follow the word first. I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. Enjoying life is what God has made this whole thing for. Actually, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, one of his purposes, is so we can actually learn how to enjoy life the way that he really created it for us. If you don't want to be lonely, God didn't make you to be alone. Yeah, absolutely. Has there been anybody? I've been in the absolute grips and in depths of poverty. My wife and I were talking about this, I think this week, or just recently, we were talking about the grip that poverty had on us. So God doesn't want you poor either. How do I know that? Well, because do you want your children being poor? No, he doesn't want you being sick. God is not, you nowhere in Scripture can you find God taking somebody who's following him, searching after him, and God saying, well, I'm just going to make you sick because that's what I want to do. The only example people can even get close to is Job. Job didn't have a covenant with God, and the Bible tells us that God didn't make him sick either. The devil did. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're told through Scripture that sickness is of the devil, that poverty is of the devil. Absolutely. I am not saying, don't get me wrong, don't you put words in my mouth and start going, oh, that pastor over there, he was preaching about how God wants to make everybody a millionaire. That's not what I said either. But the Bible, Jesus said, Paul said, he said, that by his poverty, that for our sakes he became poor, that by his poverty we might be made rich. And if you look at the context of all those scriptures are talking about finances. They are not talking about spiritual richness. There's no such thing as spiritual richness. It is spiritually alive or spiritually dead. God doesn't have levels of being alive. He doesn't say, well, the Holy Spirit, you can have this much. No, he wants you to have the Holy Spirit. That's why he put the Holy Spirit in you. He didn't put the Holy Spirit in you so you could experience this much of it. No, he put the very power of God, the power of, that the Bible says that move mountains, that kind of power, the mountain moving power, the mountain creating power, he put it on the inside of us so you could get tickled once in a while. Come on now, that's not what God's doing. That's it. And think about it. Just think about it from a natural standpoint. We'll go into the natural. You're a parent. Maybe you know a parent. Maybe you know a good parent. Would you want your kids to just have a little bit of taste of something good and the rest of the time, I want them to have hell on earth? No, God said, the Bible says that he'd give us a way out of every trial and trouble. Everyone. Praise the Lord. But this is about adapting our beliefs to the Word and not the Word to our beliefs. Amen? A lot of denominations erroneously do this. And I'm not coming down on denominations, but a lot of them have done that. They would rather have their tradition. They would rather have what they always have than they would to have the Holy Ghost there. Because God forbid we have any of that Holy Ghost stuff. You start talking about the Holy Ghost in Christian circles, praise the Lord. And people will look at you like, they'll look at you like you got four eyes in the middle of your forehead. I ain't kidding you. They're going to look at you like you're purple. They're going to look at you like something is completely off in you. Absolutely. You don't think people did that when they said, well, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Did you hear about what he was doing? Jesus, yeah, he was over there healing people, setting people free. Lepers were going to this Jesus. You don't think that people, the religious people of the day were saying, of course they were. The Bible tells us they were. The religious people were standing around saying, I don't want none of that. That's weird. That's weird that he spit in some guy's eye and he blind and now he can see. Oh, that's weird stuff. What do you think would happen if Jesus showed up in most churches today? They'd kick him out the door because they don't want anything that he brings. He said, I have to go because when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And yet people reject it all the time. The Holy Spirit is what Jesus brought into the church. Being the ability to be Spirit-led and to know what God wants you to do, to know his will. God, Jesus, ushered that in, and his church sits here every week and rejects it. They sit around their Bible studies, and they reject it. They want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. They want nothing to do with the real Jesus. What they want is they want their religion, and those that want the religion will stay stale, and they will stay defeated in their religion. But I'm going to tell you, I will not be defeated in religion. I am going to rise to victory, hallelujah, with the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, shouting and screaming the whole way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to bring a few of you crazy people with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because God wants us free. The Bible says he wants us free. He didn't die so we could still be bound. He wants those chains to fall off. And the only way to do it is through the Spirit. It is not going to happen doing the things according to the flesh. McDonald's, Walmart, they can't set you free. Amazon, pretty cool, but it can't set you free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you right now, it can't set you free. iPhones, iPads, they're really neat. I love them. Use them to preach with. Use them to talk on. Use them to text with. Sometimes I just look at things that don't even mean anything with them. But they can't set you free. It's the Holy Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Preaching my time away. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2:20 says, look at this. Yeah, I got to hurry up because I got to get here. 1 John 2:20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. That word anointing is also the word unction. There is a leading on the inside of us. And it was, we're going to see quickly, but we're going to see here coming up that there is a leading on the inside of us. And that inside is in your belly. Some people like to call it a gut instinct, but God calls it the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's trying, he's telling people all the time, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Yeah. Oh, glory to God. Turn with me to Acts 16. Acts 16, praise the Lord, verse 6. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, there's all kinds of people that need to hear this stuff. There's all kinds of people that need to be set free. Yes. Praise the Lord. That's why we're here preaching the word. Amen. Because I'm tired of, like, you know what? You know, there's, and I've seen that here in this town too, and I'm just gonna be honest with you. You want me to be honest with you or want me to lie? Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. There's things called deliverance ministries. There is one deliverance ministry, and that is called that of salvation in Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as deliverance ministry after Jesus Christ. You don't need to be delivered. You need to walk in authority. There's churches that are set up for deliverance ministries from drugs and alcohol. Listen, I got delivered out of drugs and alcohol, and what was it from? It was from the Lord working on the inside of me. It was from what God does. See, you have to learn about things like authority. You have to learn about things like living according to spirit and putting your flesh down. As long as people live in the flesh, they will not ever get out of drugs and alcohol. Why? Because drugs and alcohol are all about the flesh. Listen, if you've been addicted to anything or you are addicted to anything, I'm going to tell you right now, doesn't your body crave it? What's going to stop you? Choosing not to. That's it. That's it. But you say, Pastor Jeff, it's not easy. No, sometimes it's not. But guess what? When you get the Holy Spirit, when you get God working on your behalf, he will take you through it. He will help you through it. But a lot of times he ain't going to just rip it away from you. I'm just going to tell you that right now. God likes us to work things out. He doesn't like us to just be taken. Why? Because what do people learn by just having something taken from them? Nothing. If every time you did something wrong, I just set it new for you, you'd just keep doing the wrong thing, wouldn't you? Praise the Lord. You know what? I've seen drug addicts, families that are usually the ones who are the most like, they're the ones that are the most, oh, help this person, help this person. I've seen it firsthand. They're the ones who cause half the problems. Yeah. Why? Because they are enablers. They just keep pushing them back into it, giving them ability to keep doing it. I've seen it over and over again. You can't tell me that's not true because I've seen it. Actually, I know of a nurse that was yelling at a family member that came in to see their cracked out child or sibling. And the nurse was bold, and I was thankful for it. I said, you families are the problems. Because you keep, every time they come here when they overdose or something like that, you're there patting their back. Oh, they're. No, they don't need a pat on the back. They need a kick in the pants and say, get up and stop doing that mess. We're not going to support it anymore. Hallelujah. Now, there's grace, too, and I'm not talking about just being mean. There's grace and there's love, but there's a time where grace is enough. Enough is enough. There's a God in the Bible that out of grace led a whole group of people out of Egypt, out of bondage, into the promised land, and because they wouldn't go, he said, you can rot there in the wilderness. Yeah, hallelujah. Oh, I got a little bit, scared me a little bit, too, but that's the truth, and that's still the same God that we have today. Yes, Jesus died for us, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you think the grace of God, that he let his son go to the cross for people who are just going to be okay with it or just kind of dabble in it, I'm going to tell you right now, because I wouldn't give my child for you, but if I did, I'm going to tell you, if somebody spit on it, I would send them to hell faster than anything. Yeah. Now, God is not sending the people to hell either. That's the grace of our Lord, too. People send themselves there by rejecting. Well, God, glory to God. I don't know, baby. I don't know how we got on all this, but somebody opened the door to something in here. We used to call it a can of whoop butt, but we didn't call it that. We call it something else, but we ain't going to, you know, let the ignorant be ignorant still. Praise the Lord. But you know, no, seriously, I'm not just trying to yell and make people mad. We got to preach the truth, and we got to preach it loud. We got to preach it strongly. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't go around paying. Well, listen, Jesus isn't the Mormon Jesus sitting there with a bunch of lambs with a big smile on his face, all white as he can be. That wasn't the Jesus. Jesus walked around and he shook things up. Jesus flipped tables over in the temple. Jesus cracked whips. Jesus told people, if you don't like it, well, then fine, go somewhere else. Yeah, hallelujah. That was our Jesus. Oh, I want that lamb Jesus. Well, there's probably a Mormon church around somewhere. Praise the Lord to give you that. Don't go there. Pastor, he's sending me to the Mormon church now. No, we don't agree with that either. Praise the Lord. If any of you are offended by that, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, Mormonism is from the pit of hell. It's a lie of the devil, and it takes people to hell, and so I'm not going to apologize for not agreeing with it. Amen? 16:6. This is important. Okay, well, we're going to read through verse 10. Praise the Lord. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia, I'm supposing, pray, this is what a high school dropout. This, you're getting the best high school dropout and give you in the pronunciations. Amen. Through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. After they had come to Mysia or whatever, they tried to go to Bithynia. I guess I really didn't look at these scriptures too much when I was putting them in here. The Lord gave them to me, though, so praise God. But the Spirit did not permit them. Isn't this interesting that they were trying to do one thing, and the Spirit didn't allow them to do it? So passing by that town, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. But you notice the first few places here, the Spirit wouldn't allow them to go. See, this is the thing. It seems good in the flesh. This place over here, they need the word. They need the gospel. So it seems good in the flesh to go there. And so people go. But they didn't get the leading of the Lord. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. Yeah. They labor in vain. Yeah. And that's exactly, if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, if you don't follow that leading, you know, if God's called you to something new and you know that it's God and you've spent time in prayer and you've even gone with your spouse and you said, you know what, this is God, this is where we need to be, this is what we need to do. Yeah. That's how we came to Corey. We had no connection to Corey. None whatsoever. But when the Spirit moved, I knew it was time. For like 3 years, 4 years almost, 3 years, it was 3 years, I had this town on my heart. Yeah. I didn't even know why. We didn't come down here. But then there was a day where the Lord said, go. And so we went, praise the Lord. And it wasn't some major vision, but it was that leading on the inside of me. And see now, and we see the effects of it now. We see why now. And God opened doors and he shut other ones, praise the Lord. But as we followed the Spirit, doors open. And see, this is the thing. See, Christians are so foolish. God will shut a door. It's something that they wanted in the flesh. God will shut the door, and they'll start crying about it because God didn't give it to them. God didn't answer. And the whole time, he's like, I got a better door for over here, but you can't see enough through your tears to go to the door. I've opened something better for you over here, and you can't get up off. Because, see, this is what we're taught to do. We're taught to wallow. We're taught to whine. We're taught to cry. We're taught to just think inwardly and just think about everything that's bad in life and never. No. What does the Bible say? Philippians says to focus on the things that are good, the things that are true, the things that are lovely, the things that are pure. Focus on these things. And when you focus on these things, then my peace will come and it'll be perfect peace. It will meet up with you and it will carry you through. And then all of a sudden, you'll people will be like, well, I prayed for that job, but it didn't happen. Are you faithful? If the answer to that is yes, do you seek the Lord? Yes. I'm faithful? Yes. I go to church. I give. I tithe. On top of that, praise the Lord. I support the ministry. I'm seeking God. Yeah. Are you faithful? Well, if the door didn't open, then it wasn't no good for you. Don't get sad. Get happy, for God's sakes. I mean, seriously, people are just like, I have seen doors close, and then later, we had a building. Glory to God. We had a building. We were like ready to put, we were going to pay for it. We were going to be in there. We were going to open the doors and be in there. Just this week, we were driving through this town, and I know of at least one couple in here today that is here because of the sign that was out front. Yeah. Glory to God. And you know what I thought of when we drove by that building? They'd have never saw that sign. Yeah. They'd have never saw that sign. See, God puts you where he puts you. It doesn't matter what the expense is. It doesn't matter what the cost is. You follow the Lord and it always works out. It may not seem like it in the minute, but it doesn't need to seem like it in the minute. What it needs to seem like is what God is doing. Hallelujah. What it needs to seem like is what the Word says, what the Spirit is leading. And as we follow that, hallelujah, as we go with God in that, praise the Lord. As we follow God, we will walk into all those blessings, and it'll be good. It'll be fresh. It'll be anointed. sometimes people will be like, you know, they'll pray for, I want this spouse, I want that spouse. And that's the one I want because that's the one I like. They're the one that tickles my fancy. But you have no idea that they have things on the inside of them that would cause you, they would cause a train wreck in your life. Absolutely. These things matter. I've seen it. I've seen ministers that couldn't minister because the spouse was so anti the things of God that it drug them down. And until they separated, they couldn't, but they didn't get together according to the Spirit of the Lord. And if you're married, I'm not telling you to go out and get divorced either. So don't, you know, there's things you got to do and there's ways of going about like praying for your spouse and stuff like that if they're not faithful. But praise God. I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of the man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner part depths of his heart." That word heart is belly. It means literally the translation is belly, womb, body, as the seat of hunger. And the reason I say this, and we say, why do you say it? Because the heart, we sometimes in the translation, we look at the language different than what they understood it as. Because we speak differently now. Probably every 10 years or so, language changes. Not everything, but there'll be things in language. There was things we said, there'll be things we'll say to our kids, and they'll be like, what are you talking about? And it was some colloquial phrase that we used when we were kids. You know, that means nothing to nobody anymore, you know. And sometimes they come back around, but, you know, for the most part. But it's the same thing with Scripture, with the things that are written. That's why it's important to study. It means belly, heart, womb, body, the seat of hunger, amen. And we understand that to be right in this area, general area. Amen? You got to see the scripture. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. What do we know about the Lord in light? Lamp is something that shines light, right? The Bible tells us that light is supposed to expose things that are evil and show you the clear path. The spirit of man in the belly, in the womb, in the innermost part of your body, is the lamp. It's the light of God. He's going to shine his light on you. You're going to be like, all of a sudden, something's going to light up. You ever had that?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Jesus told Brother Hagin, it's kind of like a velvety feeling on the inside. Yeah. Amen? Now, you can, if you're living wrong, you can't follow this necessarily wholeheartedly. That's important to understand too. That's why it's important to be right, because you'll follow all kinds of velvety feelings. But if you're living after God, you can trust it, you can believe in it, and he will lead you right, and it will shine light onto what you'll just know. Go to Corey. This building, not that building. Buy this vehicle, not that vehicle. There's a hotel. Yeah, whatever it is, go talk to this person. You never know. See, all these things, and I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen our church in Mayville grow. I've seen our church in Mayville thrive because of this leading. And I've seen people in the church thrive because of this leading. God wants us to know. He wants us to go in peace. He wants us to go in understanding. He wants us to go in confidence. And if we're not going to be spiritual people, we will never get there. And so let's not shun the things of the Spirit. We're gonna delve into them. Praise the Lord. We're not going to be goofy about it. We're going to follow God's plan. We're going to follow God's leading and direction. And we're going to get there together. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see, you know, just the same kind of blessings and lives change. We're going to see that more and more here in Corey. Praise the Lord. You wait. There's 4 acres here, and it's not here by accident. Hallelujah. There's 4 acres here because this sanctuary ain't going to be big enough.
Amen.